Take a few moments, brethren, to consider a few scriptures beginning in Hebrews, the fifth chapter. Somewhat ties into what our brother has just brought before us. Hebrews 5, and we'll read beginning with verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, him that he feared, though he were son, we'll leave out the A there, though he were son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. What I had before me was a little meditation that I had this morning in the hotel room. You know, it struck me in such a way that I never really thought of before. You know, what was it there at the end of those 3 hours of darkness when the Lord's suffering and his anguish was over in his soul? What happened at that moment? Well, before we talk about that too much, let's just reflect a little bit again on those 3 hours of darkness. As it says in Psalm 42, all thy waves and thy billows passed over me. There was that incredible judgment that the Lord Jesus suffered at the hands of God as each one of those strokes of God's wrath came down upon him. Upon his blessed head, he who is that one, the perfect one, he was made sin for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And as we had before us too, in connection with the burnt offering, the laying on of the hand upon the head of that sacrifice, we think of what it was for that sacrifice to be accepted by God. Here was one who was perfect, the full answer to all that God sought, shall we say, in man, and was not found in any except for one. He was that perfect one that in whom there was no blemish. And he was the one who volunteered, we might say, he came to do the Father's will. And he did so knowing full well what he was going to be getting into. And again, there in the garden, when he would say, Father, if it be possible, as he's praying, let this cup pass from me. We feel, too, as it were, that sense in our souls we have the sword of Jehovah as it comes upon him. We feel, as it were, the piercing anguish of his soul and what it was for him in being made sin and to have himself be the one who's reckoned as the one who is verily guilty for our sins. Our beloved brethren, he wasn't guilty, we know that, but he took that upon himself. He was made sin for us. And when we think of that suffering and the turmoil of his soul, when all had forsook him and fled, he had been betrayed, he had been denied those 3 times. And you know, beloved brethren, there was none to whom he could call for help. He had called, as it were, to his Father for help, but none came at that time. And he said that he was the one who had trusted in his God from his mother's belly. Our beloved brethren, the Lord Jesus, he had a full sense of commitment in God, and yet, as if it were, he went to that cross, and his prayer did not seem to be answered. And you know, it is a very troubling thing when prayers are not answered. And it struck me last night as we were rushing the little dog over to the hospital. The prayers that were being mentioned here and the prayers that were flowing up to the throne of God for just an animal. And yet God heard that. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful testimony that God could answer that prayer in such a way as we've seen today. How many more times has God answered prayer in our lives? And yet here was the Lord Jesus. He went to the cross. There was no other way. There was no alternative. He went and he suffered for those 3 hours of darkness. But yet, it says here in this passage, he was heard. It says that he cried with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Well, the Lord Jesus, was he saved from death? Well, we know that he did go into death. He did taste of the article of death. He did dismiss his spirit, and they did come and take him down, and he was pierced with that spear, and the blood flowed, the blood being separated from his body to give perfect testimony as to the fact that he had died. Excuse me. But you know, when they took him down, they wrapped him in those garments and they laid him in that tomb. And so we might say, how does this verse then relate? Unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Well, before he died, before he dismissed the spirit, what did he say? Well, it's one thing we forgot to mention. Yea, when he was there, being forsaken of God, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That sense of abandonment that the Lord Jesus felt in his soul was indeed something that was truly felt. But then there came that moment when he could cry, it is finished. And as we can stop and think of the wrath of God, as if we could just put a picture to it, just the smiting, the stroke upon stroke, eventually the last stroke falls. Well, what happens then at that point in time? And you know, brethren, we want to be very careful about being speculative and these kind of things. But I just want to suggest that at that moment, we might say when that dark cloud of wrath dissipated at that time, the sun felt the radiance, I believe, of the Father's love upon him once again. He who had been forsaken of God, and we want to make this clear, he was not forsaken of his Father. The Scripture does not say that. He was forsaken of God. There is a mystery there that is closed to our eyes. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and billows are gone over me. And we think of the Lord Jesus in suffering such agony of soul. There comes a time in which it stops. And at that moment, then, what does he say? He says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. There is the reestablishment, the full cognizance, shall we say, of that relationship that he enjoys in his soul with his Father once again. And so when he goes into death, it's not as if it would be death that we would have experienced apart from Christ, where there would be the sheer terror, as Scripture calls, I think it's in Job somewhere, calls it the King of Terrors. And you know, to those who are without Christ, that is what death is. It is the King of Terrors. But as a consequence of what the Lord Jesus has done, we don't have that terror. There's a relationship that we enjoy with God our Father. We know to whom we are going, and that even though it's a passage into a valley, we might say, yet there is nothing but calm assurance in our souls as to what's beyond. And when I think of the Lord Jesus, when he went into that, when he goes at this time, when he dismisses his spirit, having that full sense of enjoyment in his soul, once again, of the Father's love, he has that confidence that is spoken of what we had last night in Psalm chapter 6, in the 16th Psalm. And I'll just read that quickly here. It says in verse 10, Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell or in Hades, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. When we think of the Lord Jesus, when he went into the grave, he went into the grave with this full assurance. And so in this case, death was not something of an issue to be feared. It was not something that, shall we say, would hold a terror. He went into it in the full enjoyment and the full cognizance of his Father's relationship to him and himself being the center of the Father's affections. And so we might ask, well, what then can we take and draw from this for our own sakes? You know, there's a lot of us who are sick here today. There's a lot of us who have distresses. A lot of us have senses of disappointment in our soul. There's perhaps things in connection with our children we're not happy about. Things in connection maybe with our parents we're not happy about. There are an untold number of things. Now, this is not in essence to throw, as it were, a wet blanket upon the sense of the joy that we've had brought before us. But, you know, there is the context that there is a real world in which we're dealing. And, you know, being separated unto the Lord, having fellowship with those of like mind, is something that's a blessed privilege for our souls to take and enjoy. And to be apart from the world that we know is going to suffer the judgment of God, all these things can bring joy to us. But yet still, we oftentimes find in our lives issues that we're contending with, difficulties. There are trials and temptations even on many sides that many have to face. And you know, brethren, the Lord Jesus has been there. He has gone into such suffering. He knows every trial and anguish. And you know, sometimes there are those things too that we've gotten ourselves into because of our own miserable and perhaps foolish choices. Things, steps that we've taken in the course of our life that have just continually like locked us into a path of going down a direction that maybe doesn't really lead to anything or anywhere productive. Sometimes we kind of perhaps feel a sense of being locked in. And maybe the Lord had something else for us that maybe he would have given us to do. But you know what? I just kind of want to bring us back to what we've already had before us. That the Lord is able to deal with those situations. He knows what sorest trials mean, for he has felt the same. And two, if we can be brought to a point where we have the enjoyment in our souls of the Father's love towards us. You know, the Lord Jesus, he went into sin, or he went into the cross during those 3 hours, being made sin. Again, we know he was not guilty of anything, but yet, think of what we are. We have, shall we say, these distresses, perhaps even things that are a result of our own choosing or our own fault, we might say. And yet the Lord is able to deal with them. He can bring us back into that sustained relationship with the Father. We can know what it is to have the Father's radiant smile shining upon us. When we think of what the Lord Jesus has done, he has paid such a mighty price for us. There is, with that price then being paid, is there anything that God then lacks, shall we say? Is there anything that God is yet expecting more for somebody to pay to bring us into the enjoyment of that relationship? Believe me, the price has already been paid. There's nothing more that we need to do to enjoy that relationship with the Father. It's there waiting, available to us. We can enter back into the joy of the Lord in a moment. We can find ourselves perhaps in a quiet time, separated from everybody else, and just to bow our hearts and to acknowledge to the Lord. Perhaps there are things that we need to repent of. And there are things too that where we might just bring before the Lord our distresses. Maybe we're not well or things of that nature. And we can bring it to the Lord if we have become overcome with the distresses along the way. Let's pour it out to him. Let's enjoy the Father's radiant smile once again. And if there are things that follow beyond, that might be, shall we say, even more, as if it were in the sense of death, is what the Lord Jesus went into. You know, there is so much more that is yet beyond that. The Lord will not leave us, so to speak, to wallow in the distresses. If we were to suffer an accident on the way home and become a quadriplegic for the rest of our life, it's not something I would wish on anybody. And yet, in spite of that, if that was to be the case, and I had nothing but bed sores riddling me, you know, some years down the road, if the Lord were to leave us here, the presence of the Lord could still be a joy to our soul. And, oh, beloved brethren, in whatever state we're in, as far as things that come as a result of trouble that we might face in this life, God is well able to overcome that. The Lord Jesus passed through the deepest trials that anyone could pass through, and he did so to the glory of God. And I just plead with you all, my dear brethren, and for myself too, that there is that which is to be enjoyed in the things of God in spite of the difficulties. And if we can just have him before us, there will be much in the way that we can rest on and that will sustain us until the time comes and the Lord takes us to himself. And we'll just read that in Hebrews chapter 7. Excuse me. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. This is the one, as our brother has mentioned, who intercedes for us. He has no lack. His power is infinite. His patience is ever enduring. And he will do what needs to be done. Let us put ourselves into his arms.